Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Just a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah, yeah. Let's start the show. Hour two of the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, here, joined by Laura.
Hi.
And the best listeners in radio.
That's you.
Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a great one out there. We've got some fun lined up for you. Got some entertainment news around the corner we're going to get into. We're going to help you pick out or decide what you're going to wear for maybe your work Halloween event or something. All of those things coming up. But it's a 10 o'clock hour on a Thursday. We know what that means. Time for our Pet of the Week with the Southland County Humane Society, our good friend Denise in with us. Denise, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning to you. Thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate the time. I was talking with Pam last night and this morning about the event you guys had last night, and it went seemed like it went pretty darn good.
It did, yeah. It was. It exceeded expectations. The food was great. The people were great. We had a really... The animals were quiet. It was wonderful.
I really appreciate... a shout out to Pam going down there representing us and everything, and she sounded like she had a really good time, and it had a really good turnout.
It was an excellent turnout, and Melissa was there as well, and we had a chat with her. It was fantastic. Thank you guys so much for all you do and for showing up.
We cannot help ourselves.
We're happy
don't give us too much credit. We just love animals. We can't
help
ourselves.
I have been asking to be on more Thursdays.
we appreciate what you guys do over there. It's a team effort. It really is between this community and our Humane Society, and this is the case wherever you're listening to us living. You got a local Humane Society. What you can do to help out is greatly appreciated, and especially when it comes to this time of year, and we're getting colder and colder. Weather out there. Yep. There's things to keep in mind when it comes to that. We talk about this all the time, and we will bring it up probably once a month at least, as far as when you're getting out to your vehicle, take a look under the vehicle.
Yep.
See. I have an outdoor cat that is, you know, kind of makes its rounds in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. This cat is living the life, by the way.
Yeah.
It's big, and it looks so happy.
Sometimes those outdoor cats that are just roaming a neighborhood...
Yeah. They love it. They love that life.
Yep.
Yeah.
They also love being under vehicles.
Yes, they do.
And so this is one of the things that I get really running around in the morning. I get busy, and I don't always think about it. And I am fortunate that this cat thinks sometimes before I do. Because I'm not going to lie and say that every time I always check and everything.
Right.
I would say 90% of the time I do, but I'm not always great about it. I'm really lucky this cat is fast.
Because
it's something to keep in mind, everybody. These animals are looking for that. And with our Humane Society, oftentimes we see, you know, every Humane Society is different, but you can see an increase in numbers at this time of year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Correct. Strays have increased.
All hands on deck when it comes to being able to volunteer or donate items. We greatly appreciate that.
Yes.
When it comes to those kind of items, Denise, are there things that you guys could use more than other things over there?
We can always use clumping litter for cats. We also are running short on the sensitive skin and stomach cat food and dog food both. We have several animals on both sides that have, you know, sensitive skin, and they have issues with regular food. So that comes in handy.
I appreciate anything you could do out there, everybody. Those kind of things go so far, and you're picking up a can or a bag or something for your little guy, maybe grabbing an extra one. It goes a lot farther than we can even put into words.
It does.
And I'm going to make the audience wait a little bit longer for our Pet of the Week because I got a great good story of the day.
I love your stories.
A Chicago man was reunited with his beloved family dog 10 years after the canine's disappearance thanks to a microchip and an animal shelter in Indiana.
10 years.
Edmund Lighthall, 51, said his poodle doodle mix, Peter, escaped from his family's home a decade ago, and the family eventually assumed that he had been brought into someone else's home. The Lighthalls never gave up hope, though. They had hoped that he would. Quote, I'd say, I think if he's alive, I'm sure that he'd like to see us again.
Yeah.
Lighthall told ABC's Good Morning America when they were on the show. Lighthall's persistence on this, though, kept the hope alive in the family. And eventually one day they got a call. They received a call on September 22nd from a pet microchip registration company revealing Pete had been found in Hammond, Indiana.
Wow.
So they traveled to Hammond the next day and they got Pete, and now Pete is back home. They had a big welcome home party for Pete.
Oh, how cool.
Wow.
No word on Pete if he knew.
10 years is a long time.
But it's awesome to see that this dog recognized the scent of his owners right away, went right to them.
Is there a video of their reunion?
I don't know if the video is out there, but there are some stills of it and everything. Good. I encourage people to check out and stuff. But it's a really cool, fun story. It's a good palate cleanser, mm-hmm. but it also speaks to how important our shelters and this microchipping is.
Correct. Yeah. It brings home pets home even after 10 years. And, you know, there's a lot to be said. Pets never forget. They get that scent and 10 years. How amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. Thank you
really
for sharing
cool story.
That.
And a pretty cool pet of the week this week. We got a really cool wedded studio.
Yeah. She's beautiful. Mm. She's about a 2 to 3 year old female. She did have a litter, or she was brought in with her kittens. All of her kittens were adopted. She is like a calico kind
of
petite.
Yeah, she's like a peachy and gray calico instead of an orange and black one. It's really, really pretty.
She's beautiful. She's kind of chill. She talks a lot. She chirps when she's at the shelter a lot and talks to other cats and the people. Her name is Mrs. Robinson. If you're a fan of that movie.
Her name is Mrs. Robinson.
Yep. Yeah, she's very regal. She fits the part.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson?
I think she is.
I had to do it.
You had to.
I cannot help myself. I need help.
Maybe a little.
So this cat has had a very unique coat.
Yeah,
very,
she is
very
really
sweet
pretty.
Coat.
Yeah.
And while curious and everything, very sweet, very, very kind.
Yeah, she is.
And she has her microchip and all of
that. She does, yep. She's
fully
vaccinated and looking for a home.
Do we? Her age is not known, though. It doesn't seem like...
2 to 3. That's what it's estimated. And it looks like she's only had one litter of kittens.
Okay.
You could tell when they spayed her, but yeah.
That can sometimes be a tell for the age. But with cats, it can be a little more difficult to figure out an age, can it?
Very much so, yeah.
I thought so. Yeah.
It's not as easy to go by the teeth as they do with dogs and stuff.
And I don't know if I've ever seen a cat that didn't have beautiful eyes.
Right.
But boy, Mrs. Robinson's eyes.
She does.
Got some
and the
really...
shape of her eyes are just,
they're
unique.
The most mm-hmm. cat-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, it's a beautiful cat.
Yeah.
And she is just sitting over there waiting for you. Encourage you to reach out to the Humane Society and find out more about her. Or maybe Meatball, or Little Beef, or Lil Beef.
I love Lil Beef.
Yeah,
yes.
Lil Beef's great.
Lil Beef was great.
There are so many. Oh, Remy is
someone
there.
Someone go meet Beef.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was going to bring him again today, and they said, bring another one.
I could have had another visit with Beef.
Beef is everybody's favorite.
I am very partial to Kimmy. I'm just a sucker for huskies. But especially this week, I also wanted to mention that coming up, they also feature animals that will be coming up eventually for adoption, like Gomez.
Gomez is fun. Yes. That is a great dog. He's got a lot of energy, and he's just personality.
Those ears.
Yep.
Those ears are
amazing.
Great. Oh, that was a great. Oh, Dingo. Oh, I hadn't seen Dingo. Oh, he's great.
Awesome.
Dingo's fun.
I fall in love every Thursday with these animals.
Yeah,
and
you can check all these critters out.
Yep, come on in.
SWCHS.com.
We have a show to do. That's right. There's so many animals over there. There's so many great ones. And a perfect fit for whatever family, type of family you might have.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to that, maybe you can have an animal in the home or something, but you still want to be a part of things.
Right.
Reach out to the Humane Society. Find out ways that you can volunteer. You can donate. You can really add to the work that they're doing over
mm-hmm.
there. Yep, Denise, when it comes to getting a hold of you guys, the basic information we give out, that's pretty okay?
Correct. Yep, that's 100%. Right on.
So keep in mind, you can email them, office@swchs.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505. You can also, of course, stop by at 3621 64th Street North, right here in Rapids. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. And be sure to reach out to the Humane Society at their website, swchs.com. That's also where you can see this amazing Miss Robinson and all these other great, amazing animals. Adopt them before I do. And head on over there, everybody, and be listening every Thursday for another edition of our Pet of the Week with Denise in the Southwick County Humane Society. Appreciate you, Denise. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Thank you. I picture Mrs. Robinson and I in the back of a bus.
Yep.
A bus, just sitting in the back with a dumbfounded look on her face. One of the weirdest endings to a movie ever. It's a great ending, though.
Actually picturing her perched on your shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I can see that, too. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show.
Beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch. Be careful of the blob.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Shout out to Denise and Miss Robinson for being with us to kick off our hour the right way with our Pet of the Week.
She was so sweet.
Find out more about Miss Robinson and all these great animals over at the Southwick County Humane Society, SWCHS.com, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We dive into entertainment news, and Chaperone and the Killers have been added to the lineup for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Ooh.
Saw a great interview with her yesterday. You talk about people that just seem to really be themselves in interviews and really just kind of like not putting on airs.
Chaperone's so good at
just
that.
Very, I haven't seen a ton of interviews with her, so it was a little bit fresh to me. And she was, her and Bowen Yang were going back and forth. And it just looked like two old friends talking. I have no idea if they even have ever known each other before that moment or anything, but it was very, very just like easy to listen to. It was a nice interview. They'll join a bill that also includes Olivia Rodrigo, Doja Cat, Sir Elton John, Beck, Brandi Carlile, David Letterman, Flea, Iggy Pop, Killer Mike, Missy Elliott, Questlove, Teddy Swims, and 21 Pilots.
All right. Okay.
There's no word on the list of who will induct who or who will perform or anything like that yet.
Right, right. We could play a little game of match them and give it a shot, but
I feel like it's pretty safe to say that David Letterman won't be doing a lot of spoken word. I don't know that he's going to be performing, although maybe, I think that, I don't know. I don't know David that well. I don't know. I love Letterman, but I don't know them that well. But it would be great. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's probably going to be inducting Warren Zevon. I think he's probably going to do that.
Oh, that's
those
fair.
Two
sure,
have some history.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other inductees include Bad Company, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Soundgarden, The White Stripes, and Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
The show goes down November 8th. I just looked up to see how it's going to be, how you can tune into it and watch it. The ceremony will be live on Disney Plus on Saturday, November 8th, and then it will be on Disney Plus and Hulu that following on January 1st.
Okay.
Or no, I'm sorry, the following day. And then on January 1st, it'll air live on ABC.
Okay. There it is.
So that's a cool way to do it,
that's
think. That's it gets it on everybody's TV eventually and all that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like of all the Hall of Fames, we take a little too seriously.
A little bit, yeah.
These are things where man built, you know, they are opinion.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Hall of Fame in history that was not filled with opinions. Like, that's what it is. We're voting on these things. We're you know, and opinions are rarely wrong. Like, it's hard to say, well, this individual doesn't belong in there. Well, there's 20 other people that'll tell you this person does belong in there for every Hall of Fame in human history. So I think that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the one that kind of takes itself the least serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it to be also just about the music, and it can be fun and a lot of that.
Yeah.
The Chubby Checker situation is a little interesting, got a little more serious with that. But outside of that, I think it's just going to be fun. So I think it's cool that they're putting it on multiple different mediums for people to see, especially the age ranges that covers. There's a lot of different, you know, ages that covers with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, going from somebody like, you know, Bad Company to somebody like Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
It's quite a big difference. That's cool. That'll be good. I'm looking forward to seeing how that one goes.
Absolutely.
Even though Dorothy Gale will be in Wicked for good, the audience will not be seeing her face.
Oh.
Director John M. Chow, who has taken a bit of heat in the media and from my mom and sister. They're not happy that he's putting himself in commercials. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's none of my business. Yeah, I mean, really, whatever. It's a commercial for a car.
I think they were just in a bad mood. I think.
Yeah.
According to the director, John, he says, quote, "I didn't want to step on who you think Dorothy is in whatever story that you came into with this. The movie is still Elphaba and Glinda's journey, and she is a pawn in the middle of it."
Right. Dorothy has her movie. This one's not for Dorothy.
When you think of Dorothy, you think of Judy Garland.
Right. And you think of the Wizard of Oz. This is different.
God help the actor that was they would try to fill Judy Garland's shoes with.
Right.
Like that's impossible.
Well,
and it's not saying that to any actor or anything like that. It's just that
movie, The Wizard of Oz with Judy Garland in it, that specific movie is such a historical landmark in filmmaking that it's going to always be the most known, sought after, recognized version of that story. And that's not discounting all of the other reimaginings of that story or even the original content in the book that is different from that story. But that's just what it's always going to be.
I think
the technicolor of it all, it's going to be.
It's really in an industry that is filled with a lot of groundbreaking moments. It may be the first groundbreaking moment. The first groundbreaking moment is when we went to sound, I suppose.
Sure, yeah.
But
from motion picture to adding sound to Technicolor. Like, that's
it. Yeah. They're, and Wizard of Oz is like number two on that list of things. So, yeah, it's a good point. I had not thought of this before. It may be the most popular movie of all time.
I wouldn't rule it out. I would definitely hear that conversation and not be surprised.
I guess I should be more specific. The most the movie that's been seen by the most people.
Oh,
like,
sure,
whether you
absolutely.
Like it or dislike it or anything
sure.
like that, everybody gets Wizard of Oz references.
Yeah,
everybody gets seen at least some of that movie, or even if you haven't seen it, you get an idea of flying monkeys, whatever.
Right.
The reference you make, no matter how obscure it might seem, everybody gets it, young, old, no matter what. That's pretty impressive when you think about it.
Right.
It's really interesting.
But when you're talking about Wicked, Dorothy's just not the same level of character. She's not meant to be.
She's not really a character in it. Yeah, this
she's
is
not
the
meant
pre-story
to be. It's not about her.
So.
If you want to watch a movie about Dorothy Gale, or even if you want to watch a series about Dorothy Gale, they're out there. You don't have to watch this one.
Now, there's a sequel that they missed out on back in the day. If they had done a sequel to Wizard of Oz with Judy Garland, Ireland.
That'd and just followed some Dorothy Gale.
That'd have been horrible. No, actually,
no,
that'd
it wouldn't
horrible.
Have been great. But I will say what I did really like. Oh, sorry, I bumped my mic. Sci-fi back in the day, and this was probably like 15, 20 years ago at this point, they had a series called Tin Man that was based on Wizard of Oz series.
It was good.
And I loved it.
It was good.
And I'm pretty sure it was, I don't think the what's her name?
Elphaba?
No. The actress that played Dorothy Gale in Tin Man.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Jessica Day. What's the actress?
I can't think of it.
It's going to bug me. Anyway, she did such a great job. And I can't remember.
Zooey Deschanel.
Thank you. It's Zooey Deschanel. I can't remember if she played Dorothy or like a relative of Dorothy. Of some kind.
Yeah. It's like a
It was a
ancestor.
Really fun little limited
Alan
series.
Alan Cumming in that?
Yeah.
Okay, he was.
I love Alan Cumming.
I couldn't remember. Sometimes I throw him into things that he was not in.
No,
but
he was
definitely
in that one. Yeah. He was definitely in that one.
The original ending.
I think he was the Scarecrow.
That'd be good. The dream role of mine to be the Scarecrow in the Wizard
of Oz.
Hang on,
I'm going to look up Tin Man. Give me a minute.
When it comes to the original ending of the original Wizard of Oz and the ending of that, it's one of the bigger game-changing endings, too. The whole it was a dream sequence thing. It's also the last time that should have ever been done. That's one of the worst ways to end a TV show or a movie to me is that it was all a dream it makes everything that you just put up, everything you watch for a couple of years or whatever it was, all your interest in these characters almost seem like it means nothing.
Yeah.
I hate that ending to stuff except for The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
With The Wizard of Oz, the first time it's pretty much done. Masterful.
Right.
Wonderful done. The audience is left to their own interpretation. Was it real? Wasn't? Was it all these different things? I love that. I love when they when a director lets the audience make decisions or let their imagination take over.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the last time that should have been done.
So he was the Scarecrow character.
He was.
And then Neil McDonough, he was the Tin Man.
Mm.
And then Raul Trujillo was Raw. He was the Cowardly Lion. Then Zooey Deschanel, DG.
Those early days of sci-fi, man. That's fun.
Yeah, it came out in 2007. Those were peak years for sci-fi, if you ask me.
Some great shows.
Yeah.
We've mentioned Eureka a couple of times.
Yeah, Warehouse 13, Eureka.
Yes. Peloton members are about to get something special for Halloween, a special treat, you might say.
Oh, thank goodness.
As we're wrapping up entertainment, I just thought this one was too fun.
All right.
There are three official Friday the 13th themed classes currently available for Peloton users.
Ooh.
Where users pedal to survive Jason Voorhees chasing them.
Awesome.
Well done, Peloton. I may never say that sentence again, but
I am nowhere near your target audience financially, but like honestly, that's cool.
Peloton instructors have turned into camp counselors to guide members through high intensity classes where, quote,
oh, how fun.
Rumors about Jason's neck victim is running rampant. It's a 30-minute bike ride and a 30-minute boot camp and a 10-minute meditation.
How cool.
Meditation focuses on breathing techniques facing your biggest fears or something like this.
Okay.
Way to lean. Nicely done, actually.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I actually rip on these things usually. This one, that's pretty smart. That's actually pretty good marketing right there. That's pretty good. I don't know if it's actually going to get people to use their Peloton after the first week.
I don't know if the people who can afford Pelotons are looking for that kind of experience, but what do I know?
I've talked to people who have actually been salespeople for Peloton. Mm-hmm. They don't work there anymore, but they talk about this. They have such a weird client list of people who can't afford these things but buy them on finances and don't end up not using it. And then the people that can afford them, but they have so much money that they also don't care about their appearance.
Right.
So there's this weird group. Like, I don't know who's buying these things, but the range of people that are, mm-hmm. it seems to be two specific groups of people. And weird. None of them are actually, most of them are using them as, holding their sweater up or something, or their jacket or something. I don't
it's
know.
It's a status symbol.
Maybe this will get them to use it.
And a coat rack.
Our great friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater are back at it tomorrow with Legally Blonde the Musical. They got two more chances for you to see this fantastic show. Mm-hmm. One tomorrow on Halloween at 7 o'clock, and then they wrap up on Saturday, November 1st at 7. Both shows at the beautiful Century Theater, 1800 North Point Drive in Stevens Point.
Mm-hmm.
Get your tickets and support local, support the arts, CWAC.org. Take in this amazing show. It's going to be a lot of fun, everybody.
Yep.
And be sure to follow along with what CWAC's up to at CWAC.org. Head on over there and check that out, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And break a leg, cast. Break a leg. Have
Absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely.
We are putting together our WFHR newsletter as we speak. Our team is mm-hmm. hard at work at it. Shout out Melissa and all of our great...
Mostly Melissa.
But we appreciate everybody's work on this one, and she would want us to mention that. And,
absolutely.
But we also have to embarrass her and mention her a little bit because, mm-hmm. man, do we appreciate you, Mel.
Yeah.
And not only is she working hard at it, and our team is, but they're also working hard on putting together our cookbook.
That's true.
We are collecting recipes, and we are going to probably be wrapping this up very soon, everybody, because mm-hmm. we got to get this to the printers.
Yeah, we do.
So everybody, mom, get your recipe submitted, mom, and that way it'll be in there and you don't even have to worry about it anymore.
And if you're debating between two, heck, send us both.
Send them in.
We'll use them both probably, and you'll get a free cookbook out of it for submitting something.
That's pretty cool. This is our chance to celebrate our 85th anniversary next month and give a love letter to our community, immortalize these recipes and you and your family. Because, yes, the recipe is a part of it, but I think it's cool having your name in this. And 10, 20, 30 years from now, your relatives being able to look at it and see it like we do with the current cookbooks we have in our community and everything. I think it's a fun one. Be a part of this. Get on over to WFHR.com. Get that recipe submitted and sign up for the newsletter while you're over there.
Yeah.
We'll come back after our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break with a good one. If you're going to be dressing up for a work party, we're going to help you out.
Sure.
We're going to help you out. Yeah.
We're
going to try to help you out. We'll definitely try. Coming up on The Morning Show.
The dead will come to life.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura and James hanging out with you.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good stuff to get to before the end of the show.
Yeah.
And this one right here is, a really helpful one.
Oh, okay.
Although maybe the day right before Halloween, maybe not so much. Maybe should have done it earlier. But that's on me.
Wow, James.
I apologize. Yeah. But if you are planning to wear a costume to work, here are five things to keep in mind.
Okay.
So this is certainly going to be a lot different than if you're just dressing up at home or something like that. I think there is something kind of fun there, and I've never actually gotten to do this, but I've thought about doing it many years.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of, well, I get a costume for work, and then I get a costume for at home,
right.
And I like the idea of being able to have multiple costumes. I think
in
that's
this
fun.
Economy?
Yeah, I don't know that that's it. Both, I'm going from a ghost to a banshee. Like, it's just,
right.
Like, I'm
just flipping
the sheet
up
around.
The sheet a little bit, yeah.
So here are some tips for you. Talk to your manager or HR first, especially if this is your first Halloween at your job. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the one person who didn't get the memo about not dressing up.
Yeah.
The temptation to be topical or funny mm-hmm. is not worth it.
Yeah.
It just ain't worth it.
No.
I cannot think of a scenario. None of us are sitting around, walking around, remember when Todd dressed up as this that year? Nobody remembers these things. Mm-hmm. The only time they remember them is, man, you remember that year Todd dressed up? Oh, my God. Yeah, what happened to him?
Yeah, right.
You know, where's he been? You know, because you don't want to be Todd. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that
Todd.
Person. Anything with facial makeup that is not your own facial, your own skin tone, stay away from it.
Well, I'm going to be a clown.
Like, there's certain ones
or a mime.
That are hopefully clearly okay.
Yeah.
There are the ones I would like to think that we've all agreed.
Don't do it.
Just don't do it. Make sure the costume doesn't interfere with your job.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't sit down or walk easily, or if it's just going to distract you all day, pick something else.
Mm-hmm.
I when I have dressed up for Halloween, I don't wear face makeup.
Right.
Carl and I had this discussion many times over the years of, how do we do this as newsmen? How do we do this when we're doing a show on Halloween? What happens if there's a breaking story that's tragic or mm-hmm. difficult to, we don't want to be sitting there dressed up like a clown talking about some tragedy. The way around this we found was face makeup, that this was kind of the consensus. And this is something that we did some homework on and everything, going back to old school journalists.
Well, I guess I'm doing a different costume.
You're not doing an interview like that. I think you'd be okay. We're having a fun morning show here and stuff.
All right.
I think it's a little bit different, but that's certainly your choice. I wouldn't, I'm fine. I think you're okay either way. But I do think this is like all of these things we're talking about, case by case basis.
Mm-hmm.
It don't hurt to talk to your manager. Don't hurt mm-hmm. to, clear the air here a little bit and everything. Just because you're not going to surprise somebody with your costume, I don't think is,
right.
The biggest deal. Check your calendar. If you have Zoom meetings or work commitments that day, either plan around them or just don't dress up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much our current sales staff deals with this, but I know talking to Jeff back in the day, one of our more well-known sales people for WFHR for many years,
mm-hmm.
Jeff would debate on this one. If I remember right, Jeff liked to dress up, but would do I got a meeting that day? He wasn't going to do it.
Well, and it depends on the meeting, because there's some clients that might be into that.
Yeah, yeah. Again, know your audience, mm-hmm. Know your business. If you are new to the job, I might just take Halloween off. I might just, avoid all of this and everything, but that's me. To each their own, how you do. Maybe you want to make a big impression or something, but just be careful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring a change of clothes. Even if you don't have any meetings scheduled, something could still come up. You don't want to be stuck in a costume dealing with a serious issue.
I mean, again, unless your costume is simple enough. Like, if you're able to fashion a costume out of clothing you already wear, but just add makeup to the party, or a mask to the party, or a fun hat to the party, and make it a costume,
What if you dress up as a doctor or something serious? Like, then are you covered? Like, if a serious thing comes up, like, are you okay then?
If you're not a doctor and someone treats you like one.
Yeah.
There's a line.
I don't think I've shared this with anybody other than my father. I was on a plane.
You are on a hot mic.
Was on a plane, and it had to have been like maybe the third or fourth time I've ever flown.
Okay.
And I was very tired. It was a very early morning play mm-hmm. Plane out of Madison. And my sister dropped me off. I'll never forget that. And I'm on the plane. We're only up in the air for like 5 minutes, and somebody started having a medical issue.
Okay.
And the person's wife hollered, is there a doctor on the plane?
Mm-hmm.
I have played a doctor. So right. There was almost, I didn't raise my hand, but there was a second there where I almost did.
You almost did.
I almost.
Jeez.
I'm an idiot.
That would have been so bad.
I don't know if anybody would have heard of me after that. I might have been just
it
like,
wouldn't have been good.
The shame
I'd have tossed
I
you right off
it.
The plane.
This was so long ago that I feel a little bit better about it, but just now talking about it, I want to creep into a little ball.
That's
and just
funny.
Hide. I feel like such a fool. And finally, use common sense like I didn't in that situation. That means being nothing potentially offensive. And people get offended by a lot these days.
Mm-hmm.
So be smart about it. And if you have a problem with that, welcome to the world. That's mm-hmm. society, man. It ain't just you. You live in this world with a lot of other people. And, well, I don't get offended. Well, it ain't about you.
Nope.
It's not just about you. You live in this world with everybody else. Mm-hmm. If you don't like that, then you have your own little private party or your own little party by yourself or mm-hmm. something like that. I think you need to really think about what you're doing with the costume. Are you doing it for you because, oh, this will be fun. Oh, I think this will be cool. Oh, this will be interesting. Mm-hmm. Or are you doing it to basically get clicks, to whether it's in person or on social media clicks? You're just trying to do that. And I think we can tell these things pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a number of them out there that we've seen even this past couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I also don't know that I would even discourage anyone from doing any costume that they thought of.
I teach their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
man, honestly, just know your audience. Don't come to work dressed as something that is not going to go over well at work. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Common sense, I think, is the, you know, all five of these, I think, were good tips and nice things to go over, mm-hmm. whether you knew them or not. But I also think we could have just said, use common sense.
Yeah.
We could have wrapped up right there, probably. Interesting one. And again, let us know what you are dressing up as. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from the audience, want to know what you are going to be. You could assume that Florida is the state with the most ghosts.
Okay.
But some of those apparitions are just really, you know, old people. and a lot of my brethren, a lot of my people out there. There's a new report out that analyzed ghost sightings across North America, and ooh. They put out a ranking of the most haunted states based on how many ghosts are reported per 10,000 people.
All right, bring it.
It named New York as the most haunted state with 81 ghost sightings per 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is next, followed by Louisiana, California, okay. Utah, Florida, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Nevada, and Washington.
Cool.
Georgia is the least haunted state with only 6 sightings per 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Maine is next, followed by Nebraska, Indiana, Connecticut, New Jersey, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Iowa.
All right.
Weird list.
That's interesting.
They're kind of all over the place here.
Yeah, they really are.
And there's not a whole lot. So I right away wanted to say, well, of course, New York is. It's one of our oldest states. It's,
in a way, that makes sense. Yeah.
But then when you look at Georgia as, you know, presumably least, like Georgia's got some history there. Like mm-hmm. Georgia's pretty old, too. So I guess
I was surprised that there wasn't a lot in Georgia.
Yeah.
Isn't that where, what is it, Lake Lanier is?
I believe so. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things about Georgia that. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm a little. I'm not.
That doesn't sound right.
I look forward to
but
visiting.
But what do I know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, same here. Yeah. I don't know what I know either about this one, especially this topic. But mm-hmm. it, just off the top of my head, I would have thought that Georgia would be one of the top 15 at least, let alone it's the least haunted. That's crazy to me. And I don't know why, and I almost feel like there's something wrong with me about this, but I thought Utah would be the least haunted state. And I have nothing to base that on.
No, you really don't.
No, just for some reason, I'm thinking, you know, population is part of this because of the 10,000 thing.
Okay, but I think I would have said Iowa.
Yeah, I could see
that. Would have been my guess for least.
What about
Iowa?
What about our surrounding areas here? Well, Minnesota is at 39, Michigan at 48, Indiana at 33, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. Illinois all the way at 51, pretty way down there, and Wisconsin at 37.
All right, where's Iowa?
Iowa is 36th.
Wow.
Mm.
All right.
So,
good for you, Iowa.
I would have thought a little higher. I really would have, but that's interesting.
I would have thought Wisconsin would be higher just based entirely on Superior.
Have you ever been interested in doing, my buddy Vince and his wife, this is one of their things that they do. They go and like visit haunted places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like they go bopping around doing mm-hmm. that and everything. Pretty much anywhere in Illinois is where they do it. But they've gone out of state, I believe, before.
Yeah, I prefer guided tours if I was going to do it, only because I am not a professional. And, you know, whether or not professionals in that field are a real thing or not, I'm going to err on the side of they are and go with a professional guide instead of just walking into a haunted house and recording stuff.
Good call. Good call. Very good call. I feel like it would be interesting to do, but I also feel like it would be lost on me a little bit. because the spirits part of it is interesting, but well, I love history. I would be there for the history as much as I would be to see something.
And a good guide will share the history of the place with you as you go.
Yeah.
It's important to do that because you want the people who are less familiar with the location to know the background, right? So it's kind of a, these are the spirits that people tend to say they've encountered, and these are their stories. And so if you encounter something, you can name it as that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think those kind of things can be a lot of fun.
I agree.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and wrap up the show, The Morning Show at WFHR.
You say yes.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Laura and James here to take you to the top of the hour. Yeah. Nothing but great civic media programming coming up for you throughout your day.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good stories to get into, some events happening. And we want to, of course, touch on our schedule, where it is jam-packed.
Yeah, it is.
Put together a great rapid support for us today, Laura. Nice work.
Hey, thanks.
Today, we'll be talking with UW Extension's Anna Mitchell, regional natural resource educator. I always learn when Anna is in with us. Mm-hmm. I love talking to Anna. Yeah. She's one of my favorite people to talk to. It's going to be a great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And in part two, we get to talk theater.
Woo!
And the best kind of theater, kids theater.
Yeah!
The Beetlejuice production is coming up. We're going to be talking about that, previewing a bit of it with our friends from Rams and a few Assumption Junior High School students and some other high school students as they all come together for this production.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have director Sue Becker in with us as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great one. Be sure to check that out. And we'll be talking about when the production is, how you can get tickets and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. A little bit later today, right here at WFHR at 7:30, Wisconsin men's hockey hosting Minnesota. Ooh. It does not matter what sport they are playing. You put Wisconsin and Minnesota against each other, and you are going to have rivalries
intact.
It's
a little more exciting, yeah.
It's going to be a good one. Right here, the puck drops at 7:30 on WFHR, your home for Wisconsin Badgers athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And, Laura, you want to touch on Halloween times now?
Sure.
Okay, so real quick, Halloween times and then the events.
Sure.
Halloween times in our area, Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Buren, Nacoosa, Port Edwards. You're going 5 to 7. Vesper and Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30. Pittsville, Stevens Point, and Plover, you're going 5 to 8. And Adams and Friendship, 4 to 7.
And here's your reminder to be sure to tune in to WFHR's Halloween show while you're doing your trick-or-treating times, because we're going to have special Halloween programming from 5 to 8 on Friday, October 31st. We will have a show filled with spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems, all of them read and narrated by folks right here in the office. So you're going to get to hear us do that. It's a really fun time, and it's the perfect accompaniment to your trick-or-treating and or candy-giving-out evening.
Be sure to check it out, everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Some other fun things going on in the area. The Vesper Volunteer Fire Department is hosting a brat fry from 4 to 7:30 on Halloween. And the Vesper Recreation Committee will have their games and treats from 4:30 to 6:30 in their community center.
That sounds fun.
The Buren Fire Department will have trucks at the park from 5 to 7, and firefighters will hand out candy.
Mm.
That's really cool. And we were talking about this with our good friends from the Elks Lodge last night. Or
yeah,
yesterday.
I'm excited about their events.
Truck or treat at the Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, goes from 3 to 6 with candy and food trucks. And don't forget to wear your costume.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be followed by Heartbeats Dance at the Elks Lodge from 6 until midnight.
Awesome.
That is going to be a really good time.
Yeah, it is. And then after that, there is also going to be trick or treat at McMillan Memorial Library from 4 to 5:30 p.m. You can come in your costumes and then get treats at the service desks, and be sure to stop in the all-purpose room for a treat and to have your picture taken at the photo booth. And then there's going to be the Wisconsin Rapids Haunted Walkthrough event at the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department from 3 to 5 p.m. This free, spooky, family-friendly event is open to the community, offering a safe and fun way for kids and families to collect candies. And cooperation for this event is made possible by local agencies and business partnerships, such as with the Wood County Sheriff's Office, Wood County Dispatch, Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department, the Elks Lodge, the Humane Society, and lots of other places.
Appreciate them doing that, everybody coming together for all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun stuff for the kids, parents and everything coming
up.
Yeah. Our good friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today. Their doors open at 4:15. Meals are served 4:30 to 5:45 at 2321 West Grand Avenue right here in Rapids. That big old Sparhawk trucking building is right where they're located. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sparhawk Trucking sharing the building with our friends at Focus. If you'd like to know more about this or neighborhood meals or any of the great work that they're up to or impact the work that they are doing, you can help out at 715-422-1980. That's 715-422-1980. Shout out to all of our friends at Focus.
Yeah.
What you got, Laura?
I have a couple of American Red Cross blood donation events happening in Wisconsin Rapids on the 30th. That's today until 3 p.m. at McMillan Memorial Library, 490 East Grand Avenue. They're hosting one. There will also be one on the 4th at Grace Lutheran Church from 12:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. And then on the 6th, the ODC is going to be hosting one from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information about all of those events and all of the other American Red Cross blood donation events in your area, visit redcrossblood.org. And the YMCA of Southwood County and the Boys and Girls Club of the Wisconsin Rapids area will be hosting a Monster Mash tonight from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. This free family community event has a haunted house, a costume contest, a DJ, games, crafts, and prizes. So head on over to 601 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids with some non-perishable food items to donate for the SWEPS food pantry in our community.
A lot of great events happening. Enjoy them, everybody. Mm-hmm. And let us know how they go. Let us know.
Let us know that you went. Let us know it was a good time. Absolutely.
Tomorrow, feel free to call up and join the conversation or send us pictures, however you got
to
do it.
Yeah, you can send pictures to us using the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
So download that Civic Media app. It is free. If you tune into WFHR and click the little text icon, you can send us pictures of the event that you're hosting, pictures of your kids in their Halloween costumes, your Halloween decorations, or a recipe card from your grandma.
Please do. We look forward to those, everybody. And keep in mind, while we encourage you to always check out WFHR.com, you're right next to WIRI.FM as well.
It's true. There's just a little tab on the top. You can just boop.
Head on over there and vote on the Spookiest Country Song contest that they are wrapping up today. Get your vote in. I'm not trying at all to skew people to Johnny Cash. I'm not at all trying to do that.
We all knew he was going to win anyway. I was rooting for dueling banjos out in the first
round.
You
and me both. Me too. That's what actually I thought
was
going to win.
It's a real disappointment.
Yeah. They're having a lot of fun over there with that. Check that out, everybody. Bookmark both of those web pages and support the work that we are doing around here. We greatly appreciate you. Mm-hmm. We have got some fun, exciting things coming up in the next couple of months, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast. I love this every year, Laura. I look forward to it. The camera company Nixon announced their finalists for its annual Comedy Wildlife Awards.
Awesome.
They're the funniest animal photos submitted by people over the years.
Wait.
You can go to comedywildlifephoto.com if you want a palate cleanser, like the one I'm showing Laura right now of this squirrel.
Oh, it looks like a belly flop.
Yeah, it's just doing a belly flop in the air.
Fantastic.
It's really great.
It's a very symmetrical photo.
What I would give to know what animals think of these things, if they even notice when we're doing this stuff.
They absolutely don't.
No.
They're living in the moment. I'm so jealous.
Right, yeah. An eighth grader in California named Kevin Tang was just named America's top young scientist in 2025 for an invention inspired by his grandmother.
Aw.
It's called Fall Guard. It uses cameras and AI to detect if someone falls and needs help.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't even have to say I've fallen and I can't get up or something like that.
No, you don't need to push a button. It just happens.
AI does it for you. It's already being, worked on to be able to be in almost all these homes and everything.
Very cool.
The title comes with a $25,000 grand prize. Congratulations to this kid. And again,
very cool.
He's an eighth grader.
That's really, really cool. I wish that AI was less destructive to the environment for it. But man, is that a really cool use of it.
And a 95-year-old man named Frank Unez Jr. is in the news after starting a Taylor Swift fan club at his retirement home in Omaha, Nebraska.
Heck yes.
He bought his occupational therapist an I Love Taylor pin this summer. Then his friends wanted one, and it grew from there. Now they're all Swifties.
What a beautiful thing.
His local news station interviewed him, and he said his ultimate goal is to get Taylor to come visit them in person at the retirement home.
Oh, how cool is that?
that.
And he's also a lifelong Chiefs fan.
Oh, cute.
So he's got the Taylor, Travis connection there and everything. And you're 100% right. It's a very cute story. Wait until you see this guy. It only doubles that factor.
Show me this adorable gentleman. I need to see him.
He's just a sweet old man.
Look at that old man.
That's a great story. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Great show today, Laura.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and then later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.